Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of God on Wednesday night? Glory to God. Let's lift our hands. We thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. We're glad you're here. Please remember to keep Pastor and Sister Lois Grant in prayer. They're on vacation. They're traveling. Pray that not only they come home safe, but they get the refreshing and the rest that they need. We all like a vacation. Anyone here that doesn't like a vacation? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, just have a brief announcement, few brief announcements. Our giving options, if you can show those, you can mail it in, you can go to the website, or you can text to give, and that information is on the screen, and on the screen at home, I'm sure. We're glad you're with us online. Thank you for taking time and making time. Hopefully, you're there with one or more people gathered together in the presence of the Lord, where two or more are gathered in His name. The Scripture says that He's in the midst of them. And if you're watching alone at home, you're still with us. So we're gonna consider that to be with us, and God is with you. Amen. Then also remember this Friday, September 11th at 7 o'clock, is our all-church prayer meeting, and we're moving inside, following all the social distancing guidelines, but instead of doing it in the parking lot, we've kind of reached a turning point in our weather, and it's less predictable than ever. And now when it rains, it's cold. So we're going to be inside 7 o'clock, all church prayer this Friday evening. Amen. If you don't mind, let's stand and we will pray for our service. We need to remember to pray for Brother Roberto Vega Martinez. He needs a miracle. He's been struggling with illness for a long time now. Please, let's believe God for not just a touch, but let's believe God for a miracle in Jesus' name. And then we'll continue to pray for Pastor and Sister Lois. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We know, O God, that you care about us. We know, O God, that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us, Lord. This, our brother, Lord God, is in dire need of your presence, of your healing touch, O God, for a miracle in his body. You have formed him. You have shaped him, O God. You gave him life. And you, O God, have called him to handle your word, to minister the word of truth. So, God, I pray, touch him with great power and deliver him completely from this illness, this condition that has attacked his body. We speak healing. We release healing. We claim healing for Brother Roberto in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God present in us. We release this word, this faith in Jesus' name. We pray for this service, for all who are experiencing it online, for all who will experience it in the future, and for everyone who is here tonight, O God, we pray for your anointing and your blessing upon this service, upon Pastor Jessica Rivas, O God, that she will be full of the Holy Ghost and anointed with great liberty, O God, to minister to us. Open our hearts and minds so we can receive your word according to your purpose, according to your will, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Atmosphere is changing, nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting at the mention of your name. The Spirit is moving, it's burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high and speak the name above all other names. Speak the name I gather all who wander, hostages of shame. Miracles unfold at the mention of your name. Mountains move, we lift you high and speak the name.
Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. He is here. Reach out just a little bit more. Love Him just a little bit longer. After all, He is why we are here. And He is in the midst of our presence. Jesus. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's safe to say that all of us are creatures of comfort. Seems like every time I stand behind the pulpit, I know where I'm going to find you. You're comfortable in that seat. We like things that make us feel good, and we avoid things that don't. We have water heaters in our homes because nobody likes a cold shower. Furnaces. How many of you turned your furnace on today? I knew it. We have furnaces because we want to take the chill out of the air. And we had air conditioners to take the humidity out of the summer. Mine was actually running today. I didn't realize it, but it was running. Some of us have Tempur-Pedic mattresses or Sleep Numbers and ergonomic bases, all because we're seeking after comfort. We have, most of us have refrigerators in our home to keep our food and drinks at the perfect temperature. Our cupboards are full of food, our favorite snacks and treats, the comfort food. We have boots. Yes, ladies, it's boot season. Sweatshirts and blankets, all for the sake of finding comfort. A couple of years ago, Sister Kayla Powell and I had a conversation about complacency. And we were talking about how sometimes we miss what the Lord's trying to do because we just won't step out of our comfort zones. She gave me a little magnet. It said that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. I have that magnet on my refrigerator at home, and admittedly, most days I walk right by it and I don't think twice about it. It just blends in. You know how that is? It's been there forever. But it seems like to me that on the days when I have the greatest struggle, I look up and I see that and I'm reminded that it's okay and sometimes it's good not to get too comfortable. Now, this is coming from someone who gets really cranky when she gets really hot. My patience thins, frustration pours over me. If I'm working on a project, just ask my son. It doesn't go well. We'll pack up and we'll go inside to the cool air conditioning before we'll continue that project together. And for some time, I've been stuck on this thought about manufactured comfort. And 72 degrees has just been stuck in my mind for weeks. And how fitting that today, when it should be 72 degrees, it's not. And everyone that I talk to is, it's so cold. I just can't believe how cold it got. It got cold so fast. And it seems to be the topic that we're talking about. And I would say that in America, most of us consider heat and air conditioning to be a necessity, right? Now, some people I know live without air conditioning. I don't know how you do it. God bless you. I'm thankful for the air conditioning. But, you know, we're spoiled in the fact that, you know what, if we get a little uncomfortable, we just walk over to the thermostat and we adjust it and we set it to what's comfortable. And for some of us, we can find comfort in 65 degrees. Some of us find comfort in 72 degrees. Others need it to be 78 degrees, probably my daughter-in-law. Likes it really warm. I prefer it to be cool. And you know what? We're going to have perfect weather every day, even if we have to stay inside to enjoy it. That's our mentality. We're going to be comfortable. But there's really a danger that comes in a comfort zone. 72 degrees, what's wrong with 72 degrees? There's nothing that seems bad about that. But in our manufactured zones of comfortableness, we miss out. We miss out on the sunshine's vitamin D. We miss out in the joys of splashing in the rain. We forgo the refreshing walk and neglect opportunities to connect with neighbors and friends. We retreat into a world that we can control, a world that lulls us into complacency. We adopt self-rightness. I didn't say self-righteousness, but self-rightness. My way is the right way. After all, it's much more comfortable here. We have to be careful of the comfort that we create. Let's read together in Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'm afraid this passage of Scripture often gets lost on us. It's pretty safe to say that any one of us sitting in this room anytime we want can walk into our kitchen or our bathroom or maybe our utility room and we can turn a faucet and we have water. Sometimes we get a little impatient because we have to wait a minute for the hot water, but it doesn't take us long. And I think it's important to note as we look at this scripture here to consider that the Church of Laodicea existed in a time when they didn't have adequate water supply. And many of the cities around the area had aqueducts that they created. And if they were lucky enough to be by a hot spring, they had hot water. And some of them were by a cold spring, and they had cold water. And so in that time, they created very high-tech stone pipes that basically ran through the city and transferred the water from one place to the next. Laodicea didn't have a water supply that would meet their needs, and so they received their water from a city a couple of miles away. And it came from a city with a hot spring, but by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. It was impalpable. It wasn't the hot water that came out of the spring. And so in these scriptures where Jesus is talking to this church, he's using something that really speaks to them. It's right where they're at. They understand what it means. And sometimes that gets lost on us. Because here Jesus is saying that, you know what? The smug complacency of this church is just simply distasteful to me. Just as you wanting hot water are drinking lukewarm water. Their carnal securities were blinding their spiritual deficiencies. They were content in their riches and their goods. The scriptures tells us they had need of nothing. That is in the physical. But their self-sufficiency had blinded them to their spiritual nakedness and desolation. And sadly, the biblical worldview today has been blinded by our self-sufficiency. Barna studies indicate that nearly half the pastors in America, don't have a biblical worldview. I mean, these are things like, is there truth? Are there morals? More than half the pastors in our churches of America can't say they have it. And instead of qualifying their biblical worldview on the Bible, one of the indicators was whether or not that pastor had a seminary degree. Because who needs the Bible when you've got it all figured out? Who needs morals when you're self-sufficient? There's danger in our fabricated comfort zones. History tells us that churches actually began the hospital movement. I didn't realize this until I studied a little bit, but there were Presbyterian hospitals, there were Methodist hospitals, there were Catholic hospitals. The church basically started this whole idea of hospitals and helping people. And now today, they've mostly been taken over by other organizations and heavily influenced by our government. Even schools were a Christian idea. Did you know that Harvard in the 1930s was established and created because the Puritans who came wanted their children to have ministers of the gospel and to carry on as ministers of the gospel? Harvard. I don't think Harvard's sending out many missionaries today. It's really not what they're known for anymore. Their early motto, from what I found, was truth for Christ and the church. Without going into the history of it all, we can easily see in those two brief illustrations how that so many things start out with the right intentions, but quickly morph into something completely different. Tools that are meant to develop us distract us from our purpose. But Jesus is calling to us in these words that we read tonight, and he's calling to us to overcome. He's calling us to overcome in the life that we live. He's calling us to overcome in the things that we do. He's calling us to overcome in our walk. He's calling us to hear, to keep, and to do his commandments. But we don't get to pick and choose which ones we're going to obey. We don't get to set our spiritual comfort zone. We don't get to deflect the responsibilities that Jesus is calling on to our brothers or to our sisters when he's talking directly to us. We don't get to cool down the temperature when he turns up the heat. We are accountable to Jesus for our walk. I am not accountable to Jesus for your walk. Only you. Only you. And you don't get to pick through the Bible the verses that you like and say, I'm going to apply these to my life. But all these other verses I don't like, you guys deal with them. You don't get to do that. You see, in all of this, in the uncomfortableness of everything that we face and everything that we read, the whole purpose of this book is because he's working everything for our good. All circumstances, everything is for our good. He didn't say to make you feel good, but for your good. We have to recognize where we are, as Pastor Sandin preached, so that we can become who God wants us to be. And it's okay if you aren't there right now. It's okay because all of us are in a process of transformation. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is no perfection on this side of heaven. None of you will ever make it out of your own goodness, out of your own will, out of what you are. You cannot do it. You have to continually turn aside to see what God is trying to accomplish, as Pastor Seidel encouraged us on Sunday. It's a continual process. Every one of us must live in constant pursuit. It's not a, well, one day I made a decision back then. It's constant pursuit of what God is wanting to do and allowing him to create in me a clean heart. That's why it's here. The whole purpose of the word is to renew and to transform, but it can't do it if we're not letting it in. We have to recognize that every circumstance that we face in life is an opportunity for God to love us. Well, I sure don't feel like God loves me this year. Oh, yes, he does. He loves you so much, he's preparing you for eternity. It's because he loves us that he will manifest in us the virtues that we're deficient in when we go through struggles and when we go through trials. Have you ever gone through something and you're like, oh yeah, for me, no big deal. That's a piece of cake. I've conquered that. And then it's smack there staring you right in the face and you're like, oh, I guess I haven't gotten over that. But see, God knows, and because he loves you, he's not going to leave you the way that he found you. He's working all things together for good. It isn't about our comfortableness or our happiness or even our prosperity. That difficult marriage, that challenging child, that meaningless job, that lingering illness, that physical ailment, all of these things have been screened by God's love for your eternal good. Understand that nothing can happen to us that has not first passed through the hands of God. He is in control. You remember Pastor preaching to us recently about the trials of Job? And you look at everything that Job walked through and went through, and Job wasn't a struggling Christian trying to find God. Job was a man of faith, and he walked through those severe trials. He had already gone through a lot. He had already established his relationship with God. He was so righteous, he repented for his children. But you see, the most amazing thing about Job when you walk him go through that is he went through it a man of faith, but he came out a stronger man of faith on the other side because God knew Job's going to go through this, and it's going to be for his eternal good. Hear me tonight that as long as we control our circumstances, God is not. We can say it. We can come to church and we can portray it. But as long as we're in control, God is not. He can never complete the work that he started until you come to him with a dependent heart. You have to take your hand off of the thermostat of life and you've got to pick up the word. There's no one formula that I could give you tonight that would be applicable to every single one of you. It's going to look different for each of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are unique. This is not a one-size-fits-all formula. It just doesn't exist. And yet we all want it. Or we want to at least look at our brothers and our sisters and say, if that's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. No. Stop measuring yourselves by the things that you do or say or the things that you post. And start measuring yourself by the Word of God. You cannot qualify yourself for Christianity by the number of church services that you attend, the number of scriptures that you read, or the prayer minutes you log. Do you need to pray every day? Yes. If you ask me how much you need to pray, I would say, pray until your heart is touched. Pray until you step into his presence. You see, God is with us everywhere. Everywhere and in everything, in the mundane, in the everyday. Pastor Seidel talked about the burning bush. It's one of my most favorite, the non-burning bush. That's what we need to call it now. Because it wasn't burning, right? That's one of my most favorite passages in the scripture because it was such an everyday occurrence in the desert. But it wasn't until he turned aside that God drew near. We don't have to invite God to show up. So many times we do that. Lord, we invite your presence in. He's here. He's there. He's where you are. He's where you're going. He's where you've been. He's everywhere. He's waiting for you just to include him. Make him a part of what you're doing. That's what he's looking to do. If you ask me if you need to read the scriptures every day, yes, you need to read the scriptures every day. How much? Until your heart is touched by the word. Read it with a heart ready to repent, a heart that's ready to be transformed. It doesn't matter if you read 30 chapters a day, if you walk away and you aren't changed and you aren't touched and you aren't transformed, because all you're doing is checking off a religious list. All you're doing is trying to qualify yourself, and you're missing the whole point of why Jesus came. He came because he wanted it to be personal. He wanted it to be transformational. And he cannot transform us if we won't get in it. It's time to get our mind off of our circumstances and onto the one who controls those circumstances. Let him transform you. Step out of your comfort zone and just see what God might do. Let go. Let go and let God. Stop trying to plan it all out and get it just right. We don't know what tomorrow brings. If there's one thing I've learned in 2020 is I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's okay. James said in James chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. Pastor Seidel was talking about everybody liking to take vacation. And we've attempted to take vacation a couple times this year. And it's just not in the Lord's plan. Our last one that we tried to take was at the end of June. We had it all planned out. We've talked for a long, long time about going to visit Mount Rushmore. And we were finally going to do it. So we packed everything and we were ready to go. And we were supposed to get up nice and early and hit the road. And we woke up nice and early and hit the road to the ER because my husband had woken and he had tremendous chest pain that took him to the ER and eventually landed him in the hospital. What we thought might have been a heart attack turned out to be diagnosed as pleurisy, something I had never heard of before, but apparently is an inflammation of the lining of your lungs that can cause tremendous pain. The medical staff have tried and tested and searched, and they can't figure out what's going on with him. It's been almost 3 months. 3 months of sleepless nights, of discomfort and pain that he can't get away from. We've prayed and prayed and asked those who pray to pray with us. And we've asked God to relieve him of it. And while I'm thankful to report that he has more good days now than bad days, it hasn't gone away completely. And recently, John told me that the more that he focused on the pain in his chest, the worse he felt. He couldn't find relief in the medications, but he found relief in the Word of God. As he learned to focus on his healer, he found his comfort in Jesus. But it required him to shift his mindset. It required him making a choice to say, you know what? This hurts. I don't understand. This is confusing. I don't understand why the doctors can't figure out. This isn't fair. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. Instead of focusing on all those things, he said, you know what? I'm going to focus on you, Jesus. And your word says that you're my healer. And whether or not you choose to heal me, you are my healer. The pain didn't go away, but the Lord gave him relief in his word as he wandered through scriptures. You see, it was Jesus who gave him the hope. Sometimes you feel frustrated for any of you who have gone through anything medically where you can't find an answer. And you find yourself extremely disappointed because the doctors just don't know. But maybe, maybe God's looking to pull you out of your comfort zone and to understand that sometimes you're just not going to go find a quick answer. Sometimes you're just not going to pop a pill and it's going to go away. Sometimes you've got to get in the Word. Sometimes you just got to get into Jesus. We're so quick to rely on ourselves. We're so quick to rely on what we know. We know that Jesus is our healer, and yet we're so passive about it. Why? We read the word, we have the word, we talk about the word. I'm reminded of the student who was studying the book of Isaiah, and he asked his rabbi, why is it in the book of Isaiah that God's people have word written on their hearts instead of being in their hearts? The rabbi replied, they are not ready for that. But it is on their hearts so that when their heart is broken, the word might fall in. Every opportunity is an opportunity to grow. The greatest opportunities come in the brokenness of our life. You don't have to bring perfection to Jesus. He's not looking for you to be perfect. Because if you were perfect, there's no reason for Jesus. It's in our moments of self-deficiency that we begin to recognize how much we need Jesus and how little we really can control. It's in our desperation for God that a relationship in prayer is birthed. It's no longer a duty. It's no longer a religious practice. But now it becomes a desperation that connects you with Jesus, that connects you with Him in a way that you've never experienced before and that you never could if all you're doing is just going through the motions. It's 2020, and I think it's pretty safe to say that every one of us in some way, shape, or form has been launched out of our comfort zone. But understand, it's for an eternal purpose. You see, Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace." In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have struggles. You're going to see brokenness. Things aren't going to be perfect. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He's done it. He's done it, and His desire is to make you an overcomer. But it's only in Him, not in us. I invite you to stand this evening. I know that it's uncomfortable right now to come to church, and it's uncomfortable to practice social distancing, and it's uncomfortable to wear a mask and worship. I struggle myself with the awkwardness of it all. But tonight, I'd like to invite you to come to the front, or if you are more comfortable, standing in your pew. Stay where you are. But I would ask that you would close your eyes. And if you're watching from home, I would ask that you pray with your family. You close your eyes and shut out everything around you. How long should I pray? Pray until you step into His sweet presence. It might feel awkward to do church at home, but perhaps it's past time for church at home. You see, Jesus is just as much there as He is here. And maybe He desires to do a new thing in your heart and in your home and in your family. Will you step out of your 72 degrees of comfort? If you will, I promise God will make up the difference. Everything that you think that you need is so short of all He offers. But you have to rely on Him. You have to rely on His Spirit. And we have to be Spirit-led. And the only way that we can be Spirit-led is when we are Spirit-fed. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You just got to trust in Him. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. I invite you to spend some time tonight to pray and to ask the Lord to look into your heart and to show you. Lord, I pray that you would search in my heart, Father. I pray that you would allow me to see the subtle ways of worldliness that have settled in and crept in. And I pray that you would reveal to me the desires of my heart. And God, show me the complacency of my comfortableness and forgive me. Forgive me, Father, and help me. Transform me and remake me, God. Teach me to rely on you more and not myself. Help me to seek after you, God, that in every circumstance and everything that I walk through, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up. And God, as I step outside of my comfort zone tonight, God, don't let me fall back into the ways that were. But God, help me to see that maybe you're up to something. Maybe there's a bush that's not being consumed, but is burning bright with the fire of your Spirit that I need to recognize eyes in what I am doing. And God, I pray for every person here tonight, Lord, for a transformation of your spirit. God, no more church as usual, no more casual Christianity, but help us to get a hold of who you are and what you desire to do. Because time is short and heaven is near. And God, I want to be ready. And I want everyone around me to be ready. And God, I want to be a light to the people around. God, that they would see you in me, that it would be your spirit, that it would be your power, not by my might and not by my strength, but by yours, Jesus. Help us, God, to understand the only way that we're going to do this is if we walk in the Spirit. And sometimes it takes stepping outside of what we know into the unknown. And sometimes it takes just a simple trust in you that says, I trust you, Jesus. I don't know. I don't have it figured out. I'm not okay with not having a plan, but I trust you, Jesus. And I'm going to commit this to you. I'm going to commit this chaos to you. And I'm asking you to do what only you can do. God, let your Spirit wash over us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I have in these hands an altar cry, God, all that I am, it bind my heart on the altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. And here I am, God, arms wide.
To Jesus now, all to
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being in the house of God. Here or online, thank you for joining the family of God. I just want to leave us with two testimonies. Brother Brunker is here. He sent me this text this morning, I think it was, from Angie, his daughter. I had my MRI yesterday, and the cyst they thought would need to be surgically removed is gone. It's seriously a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. They had surgery scheduled and everything. It just shows what prayer does. It was the size of a golf ball, and it's gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Claude stopped by today, and he said, I want to share a word of testimony. He said, the last service that we had, there were 773 views of that service for AIM. He said, we've never had that many people in service, nothing like it, but God has taken this situation and turned it around, and we have 773 people in church on Sunday afternoon. Praise God. Amen. God pushes us out of our comfort zone, but look what he does when we look to him for his help. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great week. See you on Sunday. Friday night, prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. God bless you.